Welcome to Talking Therapies, a podcast made together with Psychology's Magazine and UK Council for Psychotherapy, or UKCP for short. I am Susie Walker, and I'm the Editor-in-Chief at Psychology's. Each month on Talking Therapies, we will be talking to the UKCP therapist about a range of topics. In this episode, we will be uncovering the impact of loneliness in relationships.
Often people say, I want to go back. We can't go back. But what you can do is go forwards. And I find very often with couples that where there's a strong love and commitment, then actions can be worked with.
That was UKCP psychotherapist Fee Robinson. Fee has previously worked in organisation and leadership development and as a coach and a trainer. After receiving support during a difficult time, Fee trained as a psychotherapist to help others on their journey. Fee now works in private practice in Durham, having previously worked with a number of organisations including NHS Primary Care on Teesside and My Sister's Place in Middlesbrough. She seeks to help both couples and individuals thrive, whatever life challenges they may be facing. Shortly, Fee will be talking to Sarah Niblock, the CEO of UKCP. But first, here are some comments about loneliness in relationships from people we spoke to on the street.
They don't necessarily have a network in place where they feel that they can talk to people about their issues. So I think that can create loneliness.
You can be surrounded by millions of people and still feel very lonely in London.
If you feel lonely whilst in the physical proximity of another human being, that's not going to necessarily make the other half of that partnership feel great. You're always going to end up with tensions there.
The relationships are always changing. Power dynamics within the relationship are changing. People don't stay the same. You have periods of emotional growth and emotional instability, and people tackle things in very different ways. So it all comes down to communication within those relationships.
Reach out, talk to someone. The second you open your mouth, the power of that's taken away.
A study by the Co-op and the British Red Cross found that over 9 million adults in the UK feel lonely often or always. And in a survey by Action for Children, 43% of 17 to 25-year-olds that use their service said that they'd experienced feelings of loneliness. Less than half of these individuals said they felt loved. There seems to be a connection between feeling lonely and feeling unloved. But can we feel lonely despite being in a relationship?
So, Fee, why does loneliness matter from a psychotherapeutic perspective?
Well, I think the main reason loneliness matters is because it hurts. It's not a pleasant experience to feel lonely. Loneliness can mean different things to different people. It might be that someone doesn't feel heard. It might be that they don't feel loved. It might be that they feel isolated. But what happens when you feel lonely, and you feel lonely in a relationship, is that you start acting differently. So your behaviours change. You might withdraw, you might not want to be intimate with your partner, or you might be picking fights and arguing and, you know, coming out in a more aggressive way. But ultimately, if you're lonely, the relationship might not last, so it's important that it's something that's addressed.
It's hard, isn't it, to think, if you think of loneliness as when people are quite isolated, actually physically cut off. So it's hard, I think, for me and for listeners to think about being lonely when you're very, very closely knitted with somebody, living in the same house or flat. So how can you be lonely when you're actually in a relationship with someone?
Well, I think the important thing is that being lonely is not the same as being alone. It's possible to feel lonely in a crowd, and it's possible to feel lonely when you're supposed to be intimate with somebody. Because quite often in a relationship, intimacy isn't something that's a given or a constant. It ebbs and it flows. And that can be because something has changed for one or other of you, a job change perhaps, having a baby, moving house, a bereavement in the family, or it may even be that there's been infidelity or some other kind of breach of trust. But things change in relationships, and also people change over time. And sometimes a relationship that's been really great can be one where all of a sudden we're just not feeling met somehow. We're not feeling seen or appreciated or heard. And then loneliness can become an issue.
or you've written about people feeling there's something wrong with them. They come to you feeling that something must be wrong with them if they're feeling lonely. Mm. Why is that?
Well, I think people have one of two explanatory styles generally. Some people will do what you're suggesting and say, well, it must be my fault, it must be me. Other people will say, it must be the world, I couldn't be wrong. But in psychotherapy, we tend to see more of the people who are saying, no, it's me at fault, there's something wrong with me. I don't think blame is particularly useful, but I think insight is hugely beneficial. So what you can do is look at whether there are patterns across your relationships. Is this perhaps a familiar feeling that at this stage in a relationship you've started to feel lonely? Has this come up before? And really start to understand what it is about the way that you've been brought up, the way that you function in relationships, that's contributing to that. So a useful thing to reflect on is, what were relationships like as you were growing up around you? What was mum and dad's relationship like? What about your grandparents, aunts and uncles? What are your siblings' relationships like? Are there patterns there? You know, is it stability, long-term relationships? Is there infidelity, lots of changes? Because whatever that web of relationships around you is likely to be unconsciously you're impacting how you relate and the assumptions you make that you might not even be aware of. And it's bringing those kinds of things into the light that can be very helpful to understand what might you want to change, what old beliefs might you have that need a dust down and a kick out, and what might be more helpful for you. So that's, you know, the work of individual and couples therapy if you're working with these sorts of things.
That's so interesting. And you mentioned there about couples therapy. If both partners feel lonely in the relationship, does that mean there's something wrong and that relationship necessarily has to come to an end?
No, not necessarily. Quite often things kind of gone, you know, in a bit of a difficult direction, and actually talking about it, discovering that you both feel that, can be enough to turn people back towards each other, to start to do things in a different way and to find a new connection. Often people say, I want to go back. We can't go back, but what you can do is go forwards. And I find very often with couples that where there's a strong love and commitment, then actions can be worked with. So it doesn't mean there's necessarily anything fundamentally wrong with the relationship, but it might be that at the moment what one or both people want from the relationship is not what they're getting, and that being the case, that's something that can be changed.
I'm very interested in the balance of power within relationships. We hear about kind of unequal levels of commitment or levels of responsibility. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, power's an interesting one, because power comes in so many different types, and we each have personal power. You know, we have power in lots of different ways. Now, we can use that for the benefit of our partner and ourselves, you know, in support of the relationship, or we can use it as power over. And when there's being power used over a partner, that can be emotionally, financially, physically, sexually, or any other kind of hostility, then that can be really problematic. And if that's the case, then that's something that you might want to explore. But quite often, we can just have patterns where one person's doing more giving and one person's doing more taking, and that can become more and more entrenched over time. And sometimes it just needs bringing into the light, it needs uncovering, and the balance of power can be restored.
So you might be doing it quite unconsciously.
Yeah. And I'm thinking in particular when people have young children, for example, there's often a difference in the roles that are taken in the care of young children that can affect the relationship dynamic as well. So as life happens and you go through different phases, those sorts of things morph and change how you relate, and quite often it's just unspoken and unnoticed, and when it is talked about, then small changes can have big effects.
So making spaces to reflect on where your relationship power balance lies at different phases, as you say, when life conspires against you or circumstances just change, sounds like a really beneficial thing to do. I'm interested to know what can be done about a relationship where loneliness exists.
I think lots of different things depending on exactly what's happening. But the number one is often the thing people don't want to do, and that's to talk about it. You know, there's something quite vulnerable, I think, about saying, I feel lonely. It can feel quite high risk, but it's a really important conversation to have. And oftentimes I'll see people in individual therapy who might come wanting to kind of prepare for how am I going to get this across, and to really build up their sense of confidence and strength to be able to have that important conversation. But once loneliness is on the table, then there are lots of things that as a couple you can do. So one of them is looking at the way that you communicate with each other. So how do you get past the daily, weekly humdrum of what needs doing? To talk actually about who the two of you are, about what matters to you, about your hopes, your fears, your feelings. Having those sorts of conversations can really bring back an intimacy and a sense of belonging and togetherness and overcome loneliness. Now, they're not skills that everybody has or has right now. So sometimes working with a psychotherapist as a couple can be really beneficial to kind of teach you skills, if you like, of how you get to communicate better with each other, how you really can listen rather than reloading your next comment in your head whilst someone's talking. So there can be practical things like that. And there's also something about looking at the way you're managing your relationship. So is your relationship one where there's space for you, space for your partner, and space for the relationship? Because if any one of those three gets neglected, it's not going to feel particularly stable. So sometimes the answer to loneliness in a relationship is one or both partners starting to do more things outside the relationship, which then means they've got more to bring back in, and there's more to talk about, and it can keep it fresh and interesting. But also, often there's something about reconnecting again as a couple. So whether that's about a loving note in the lunchbox or on the pillow or a loving touch as you walk past, it can be really small things that just say you're special. And doing those kinds of things doesn't take a huge amount of effort. It's not about grand gestures or big gifts. It's just about letting your partner know that they matter. And those kinds of things can really, really help.
We lead such busy lives now, don't we? And it's so easy to be ships that pass in the night, and trying to make time to talk about the relationship when you probably spend very little time talking as a whole must be quite intimidating. But I think it's really interesting the way you talk about the three parts of the relationship, both the individual couple, but then there's the relationship itself, and that's a whole different entity. What if it's your partner, not you, that says that they're feeling lonely? I mean, that must be quite a blow to hear that. What can we do if we're faced with that?
Yeah, I think the key thing is to listen. As you say, it can feel quite a blow. We can take that in and think, oh my goodness, I'm doing something wrong here. But just really being able to open up and hear what is it that's going on for your partner, and talk about that and help them find the answers for them. So what combination of things might make it feel better? Because it's seldom one thing that's going to solve a problem like loneliness. It might be a whole combination. But also being open to, well, what might you need to change if you want to help your partner to feel more contented and more connected? I think it can be important just to be open to those conversations.
And I suppose working with a therapist as a couple can at least create that safe space to have those conversations in a way that hopefully is positive and constructive, as opposed to feeling intimidating, or at least being able to work through those feelings if you do feel, oh gosh, you know, yeah, I'm feeling a bit under threat here.
Absolutely, because having a third in the room I think takes away the back and forth and the arguing. Mm. You know, sometimes couples will come into couples counselling and have a humdinger, and it's about kind of, you know, being able to look at how do we move into a different space so that everybody can feel heard, and as if their point of view is valid, and find different ways rather than it being my truth or your truth. How can we let both of those truths be there and find something that works for everybody?
Yeah, I can see that. I suppose there's always the danger, though, that one or either of you won't see what the problem is. I mean, you know, you're trying to express your feelings, your innermost fears to a partner who may be perhaps dismissive or unwilling to take responsibility. What can we do if we're faced with that?
Yeah, I think that's a difficult situation, but that's real. You know, not every story has a happy ending. And the crux of it is that relationships do take work. You know, if it's not okay for you, the way the relationship is now, you can't fix that by yourself. But the other thing to bear in mind is the only person you can change is you. So step one might be communicating the problem. Step two is taking responsibility for your part in it and your end of the pattern, if you like, and changing your behaviour. Now, oftentimes, as you do that, a partner will begin to shift as well and will begin to reciprocate. But sometimes, though, they don't want you to change, they don't want the relationship to change, and they certainly don't want to change. And if you're exploring what's happening and there isn't a way forward that you can both live with, then sadly, getting some individual support to really think about what do you want from here and what's going to be okay for you is important, because for anybody to be just surviving long term in something that really doesn't help them thrive, it's not ideal.
Yeah, and if the relationship does end, and well, what advice would you give to parents when perhaps managing the impact of that ending on their children?
It's a common scenario these days, and a very difficult one for families that are you living apart. But the most important thing to remember is that children are people in their own right, and they do have a right to a relationship with both of their parents that's not hampered or mediated by the other parent. And difficult as it is, I think putting your children's needs ahead of your preferences, whilst challenging, in the long run will be a really good thing for your relationship with your children. So I would encourage people, if they need to seek out a couples psychotherapist or a mediator, and find a way behind closed doors to work through whatever it is that you need to work through to separate well and then parent together, and really minimise as much as you can the impact on your children.
Because although the relationship might not be intimate in the future, it's still a relationship, isn't it?
Your ex-partner's going nowhere, and you are both parents, and helping children to feel secure and loved by both parents is a really valuable gift.
I think it's so useful to hear your insights, because I think most people still think that psychotherapy is about working with one person, with one individual. And you know, to hear your work with couples, and I think that creates a whole new opportunity for people to build their relationships from strength to strength, you know, for decades, hopefully, and possibly into the future. Now, if anyone is listening to this who is feeling acutely some of the issues that we've raised today, I wonder what would you say should be the next thing that they do?
Well, I think there's something about really creating a space for yourself to connect in with what you are thinking, and helping yourself find ways to express that. And that might be by yourself. Some people like to journal or to draw or to create music or whatever it might be to help you connect with yourself. But if you feel that you need to reach out and have some support with that, then I would be going on the UKCP directory and having a look at couples counsellors, couples psychotherapists in your local area, and seeing if you can find some support.
Thank you very much, Fee. Thank you.
Pleasure.
That was psychotherapist Fee Robinson speaking to Sarah Niblock, the CEO of the UK Council for Psychotherapy. If, after listening to that, you feel you could benefit from some talking time with a psychotherapist, then go to the Find a Therapist section of the UKCP website and have a look through. The website is www.psychotherapy.org.uk and look for Find a Therapist tab. We are also featuring the subject of relationship loneliness in Psychology's magazine this month, or you can find us online at www.psychologies.co.uk. We'll be doing a podcast each month for the next year with some of the UKCP psychotherapists, and remember to like and subscribe to our channel to hear it first, and it helps others to find us too. So join us again next month. Till then, thank you for listening and take good care of yourselves.